Well, amen to that. And we do know our God is big enough to handle anything and everything that we have to face. And so praise the Lord for that. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, go ahead, and I trust you have yours at home. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying and preaching on the life of the Apostle Peter. The life of the Apostle Peter. And it started with his conversion as Peter was saved, and he is being discipled by Jesus Christ. He's been discipled by God, manifested in the flesh. And what a blessing that is, just thinking about that, as Jesus would be preparing his 12 called apostles, 11 of them, which would then be apostles. Judas would not become one. Judas would not be saved. But they were being discipled by Jesus Christ. Now, last week we looked at Peter and how he was charged with preparing for the Passover meal. Now, this would be the third time that he would have had and observed the Old Testament Passover meal with the Lord Jesus Christ. But this one would be different. This would be the last one. This would be what would happen right before Jesus would be soon arrested and would change everything in Peter's life. I mentioned last week that this was the beginning of the worst night in Peter's life as he was preparing for the Passover supper. And if we look here in John chapter 13, let's start reading in verse 2 and we'll read down to verse 17. The book of John chapter 13, verse 2, and supper being ended, that's the Passover supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth up from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye that what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord. And ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that sent is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you again tonight, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be back into your word and together as a church family. And I just pray, God, even now that you would just help each and every one of us to put everything else out of our minds, no matter what it might be, and focus on this passage of scripture and the lesson that you would have for each one that is watching here tonight to receive. And I pray that they would receive it this evening. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated, those that are here. After the Passover supper, Jesus began to wash the disciples' feet. We've seen just a little bit of this last week and the fact that each one of the disciples, when they came to that upper room, there would have been a basin next to the door for to be used to wash the feet of those who come in. Now, in this particular day and age, it was a custom for the servant of the house to wash the feet of all the guests and everyone that came through the doors of the house, and he would be there to wash the feet of those coming in. Now, not one of the disciples was willing to humble themselves to be that servant to the others. They all came in, they all viewed the bucket, but then they went on over to the table and they sat down and they ate the Passover supper and acknowledged the Passover that was given to them in the Old Testament. Well, once this was done, the supper being ended, then Jesus made himself a servant. And he went to that basin, he filled it with water, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. A lesson for all the disciples to learn. Not a new ordinance of foot washing, but a commandment to be servants of God. God would have every born-again believer not to exalt himself above anybody else, not to seek after positions and power, authority, but truly to look to be a servant. Just look to be whatever God wants you to be to others, whatever that might be, in whatever position that God would choose to put you in. It's not so that he can exalt you, it's so that you can exalt him in that position. And the way that we exalt him in that position is to use that position to serve, to be all that God would have us to be. So this is what's taking place as Jesus is teaching all the disciples this lesson, but he really is focused on Peter here because he mentions Peter. He did not go to Peter first of all. He went to other disciples and washed their feet for Peter to observe. This whole time, Peter is looking at Jesus, who he believes to be the Messiah. He did not look to him as being a servant. He looked to him as being a Lord and a King of kings and Lord of lords, a Messiah that was going to give them national power over everyone else, especially over Rome. They would be able to, with the Messiah coming in his mind, defeat the Roman army and become established a kingdom on earth. Well, they lost sight of the New Testament church age during this time. And this is something that Jesus was presenting the whole time he was here as that sacrificial lamb. And so we find here that Peter is watching Jesus wash the feet of the other disciples. And then Jesus comes to Peter. And no doubt Peter is somewhat confused and still does not know exactly what's taking place. And so we find that Peter asked Jesus a question. Now, in verse 6, this is a question. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? He looks at him, Jesus, as being Lord, and he's saying, you're Lord, I'm your servant. It should be me washing your feet. Because you are the Messiah. I am your servant. And so in a way, we find here that Peter was somewhat thinking clearly as far as realizing that Jesus was who he said he was. He was the only begotten Son of God. But he failed to acknowledge the fact that Jesus was preparing him for what was going to come within hours after this particular event. And so he asked him, dost thou wash my feet? You being God and I'm being a lowly servant and you're going to wash my feet? In verse 7, we find that Jesus gave him the answer. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now. Now, this is the answer that Peter needed to focus on. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Jesus said there was a reason. Basically, he's telling Peter, what I'm doing, I have a reason for doing what I'm doing. You might not be able to understand it. Matter of fact, you can't understand it now, but you will understand it. For right now, just trust in what I'm doing. Look to me as your Lord. Look to me as the Messiah. Look to me as God, and trust in what I am going to do in washing your feet, because I have a purpose for this. There's a reason that I'm doing what I'm doing. Can I tell you that God has reasons for everything? Nothing happens in the life of a believer that God does not have a reason for, that he has not either brought it into our lives or he's allowed it into our lives. But whatever it might be, even, if you will, this coronavirus and how it's impacted our church and how it's impacted not only our church but our United States of America, not only the United States of America but the entire world. I believe this is a tremendous opportunity for true born-again believers to shine and to have a testimony that other people are looking to find some kind of a understanding and some kind of a peace in the midst of this storm. God has put us here so that we can shine as lights of Christ. And so he would not understand it now. Jesus told him, you're not going to be able to understand it now, but you will, in time, you're going to understand it, and you're going to be able to see why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's what Jesus' answer was. But Peter didn't listen. Peter's statement to Jesus, verse 8, Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Didn't you listen? Did you not understand who it was that was telling you what he told you? You believed him to be the Messiah, then listen to him as the Messiah. You see, when we fail to listen to Scripture, because the Bible represents the very words of God, it will lead to wrong behavior, as we find it did with Peter. Verse 8 reveals Peter's arrogance and disrespect when he says, thou shalt never wash my feet. He told Jesus, the Messiah, the very Son of God, what he could not do. And he didn't even realize that he was showing disrespect and somewhat arrogance when he said what he said. Yeah. You see, we should never address God thinking that we know more than what God knows. I've had people say to me several times throughout my 40 years of ministry, I don't care what the Bible says. I'm going to do it my way. Yeah. Address people the need of salvation. And they're so focused on the religion. They're so focused on how they want to believe. And I've tried to take the Bible and open it up and say, this is what the Bible says. This is what God has said that a person must do in order to be saved. And I've had them look me in the eye after I've said that and tried to get them to look to the Bible. I don't care what your Bible says. They will regret that one day. Because no matter how much they want to believe in a works salvation or how much they want to believe in religion getting them to heaven, religion will never get anyone to heaven. Works will never get anyone to heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. Heaven has only come by way of Jesus Christ. But they've said to me and didn't even realize how disrespectful and arrogant they were to God by saying, I don't care what that Bible says. I've had a couple sit down across my desk and counseling them. And they have marital problems. They're coming in to try to find help. And as a pastor, I'm going to give them biblical counseling. That's all that I know how to give. And can I tell you, that's what people need. That's what works. Not humanistic counseling. Not telling them what they want to hear, but telling them what thus saith the Lord. That's the counsel that everyone needs, but especially if you're having problems in your marriage and you're seeking help. But I've had them sit across my desk and I'm telling a man, this is what the Bible says that you need to be to your wife. And I've had them tell me, I don't care what the Bible says, I don't believe that. I've had women sitting across my desk and I've told them, this is what the Bible says concerning you and your position in this marriage. And I've had women across my desk tell me, I don't care what the Bible says. I'm not going to do that. Not even realizing how arrogant and disrespectful they are to God. I've had church members that sit across my desk, and I've tried to explain to them, I've gotten the Bible out and says, this is what the Bible has to say about standards. This is what the Bible has to say about church attendance. This is what the Bible has to say about tithe. This is what the Bible has to say about faith promise missions. You list it and go on down. It's what the Bible says. And I've had even church members who are no longer members, but have said to me, I don't believe that. And I'm sitting there saying, it's what the Bible says. I don't believe that. Showing arrogance and disrespect to the very words of God. That's what Peter's doing. Do you understand? That's what Peter's doing when he is sitting there and Jesus tells him one thing. He answers this question and Peter says, even though you say this, there's a reason for it. You shall never wash my feet. Arrogance, disrespect. We must never show disrespect to God, to His Word, to His work, and nor to His servants. Because if you do this, it will lead to wrong behavior. Those that said that across my desk, can I tell you, they never got their marriages back together again. It led to wrong behavior, and they went ahead and did what they wanted to do, but it wasn't what they needed to do to salvage a marriage. Those walked away that I was trying to lead to Christ, walked away lost, and if they never turned away from what they said before, if they never got back to what the Bible says, they died and went to a devil's hell, or they will die and go to a devil's hell. If we do not listen to God and show respect for what He says, it will lead to wrong behavior concerning God, concerning His Word, concerning His work, and even concerning His servants. Yeah. Go back with me to John chapter 13. This is what Peter had said to Jesus. Well, Jesus then answers Peter's statement. You should never wash my feet. Now, Jesus understood what it would symbolize and what Peter would later learn to what it would symbolize. And so we find here that Jesus' answer to Peter's statement was found there in the last part of verse 8. Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. If you're going to disrespect me, dishonor me, you have no part with me. I love that part of it. See, Peter still loved Jesus, and he still believed him to be the Messiah. But all this had just confused him. And if he would listen to Jesus, Jesus told him, you're going to be confused in that you're not going to be able to understand it right now. You can't understand it right now, but let me give you a promise here. Let me give you an assurance. You will understand it. Just right now, trust me and do what it is I'm telling you to do and yield to me washing your feet. So now, after Jesus tells him, if I don't do this, you'll have no part with me. Now Peter turns a 180. But he still doesn't understand. And he still doesn't understand that what he says is not right either. Verse 9. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Now see, now he went too far the other direction. Now Peter is telling Jesus to do more than what Jesus said he was going to do. Did you get that? First of all, he's telling Jesus, you're not going to do what you said you was going to do. Then he turns around and he says, I want you to do more than what you said that you were going to do. Not only wash my feet, wash me up my head, my body, and give me a bath. And Jesus, it was not what Jesus said that he was going to do. Both are wrong. I think that the Bible tells us somewhat, gives us an illustration of that. If you look in the book of Revelation, the very last book, chapter in the book of Revelation, in chapter 22, and this is in closing out the Bible and closing out the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 22, verse 18, it says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. You hear the words of God, just as Peter heard the words that Jesus said. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Don't add anything to what Jesus said. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book. Do you understand what he was writing to us in the book of Revelation is exactly what Jesus was trying to get Peter to say. You don't add to and you don't take away. Listen to what I say and do what I say to do. Isn't that good? That's a whole lot easier than trying to add to or take away from what God says. Thinking that we can add to or take away from the eternal words and the eternal will of an almighty creator God. Just listen. Peter didn't listen. And then do what God says. Simple obedience to God's words. Simple obedience. Not trying to change it in your mind to make it better. Just simple obedience to God's word. Throughout the scripture, situations and circumstances that people faced. And every time it was go back to simple obedience. Samuel addressing Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. When you reject the words of God, it's going to lead to making wrong decisions. Wow. Over in the book of Romans in chapter 6, let me just read it to you. Romans in chapter 6 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey?" Now remember, this is what Jesus is teaching them. Just be servants and do what I tell you to do. His servants ye are to whom ye obey. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Peter would later write, or he would later say, as it was written in the book of the apostles, in the book of Acts, in Acts in chapter 5, in verse 29. This is something that Peter would say, and I think that he would have learned the lesson that God wanted him to learn. When Peter said, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man." Jesus was right, and he always is. "Peter, if you'd just trust me, just let me do what I said I'm going to do, because I have a purpose. There's a reason for it. Just yield and do what it is I'm telling you to do." See, Jesus knew that within hours after him washing Peter's feet, that he, Jesus, would be arrested and Peter would be facing great opposition. Jesus wanted Peter, first of all, to know that he was washed, that he was saved, and he was ready for whatever it was that he was going to face as Jesus washed his feet. See, there was two washings in verse 10, and we're going to close here in just a minute, but let's finish this in verse 10. It says, "And Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet." Once you've already been washed, the only thing you need from this point on is a foot washing. Now, he also said right here, "But is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, ye are not all clean." So he's talking about, Peter, you were saved. Judas is not saved. In being saved, you've been washed. Judas has never been washed. That idea, there is the washing of salvation. The washing of salvation is when you trust in Jesus Christ and you receive a gift of everlasting life, then through his precious shed blood, his shed blood washes you and cleanses you and redeems you to an almighty God. Once you've been saved, you're saved. But as we go through this life, from time to time, we're going to get our feet dirty. From time to time, we're going to have a need to have a foot washing. Not literally. This was never intended to be literally. It was intended to know that you can come back to Jesus. You can confess your sin. And you can be forgiven even as a believer of those sins. And those sins can be forgiven and washed away, and you can be restored to the fellowship that you have with the Savior. The washing of repentance after salvation. Peter would need this because he would fail the Lord. We'll get into it in the next week or so, but Peter would deny the Lord three times that very same night. After his feet was washed, he would deny that he ever knew him. But then his remembrance would come back. He would remember what Jesus said, how he would have failed him. And there was such sorrow, he wept bitterly. And with that sorrow, he could repent of his sins and been restored in his fellowship to the resurrected Savior. Yeah. Back in John chapter 13, verses 11 down to verse 17, then Jesus addresses all of them. And as they followed him, they were to listen to and follow after what he said and the example that he would leave them. And then he gives us this promise in verse 17. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. You got to know it's the Word of God before you can apply the Word of God. But once you know it's the words of God, just listen to him and then apply it. And it'll bring peace and happiness into our lives. Not only knowing them, but first of all, knowing who said it and then applying it to your life. If you've not done that, I would encourage you tonight to bow before an almighty God. If you've never had salvation, then ask him to forgive you your sins and to save your soul. Receive that gift of everlasting life. And if you are saved, you've been wandering, you got some filth of this world on your feet, come back to him. Ask him to forgive you. Repent of that sin. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you need to do that, right now there's an invitation. An invitation is an opportunity to respond to whatever God has spoken to you about. All those watching live stream, if God's speaking to you right now and there's a decision that needs to be made, don't put it off any longer. Right there beside your family and beside that television, bow before Jesus Christ. If you need to get saved, ask him to come into your heart and save you. If you need to have some of this world's sin, this filth washed, ask him to cleanse you, draw you back to him. Whatever you have to do, do what God will have you do right here, right now. Father, we love you. We bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us. We thank you for the opportunity to study the words that you've given to us, especially in the life of Peter and what Peter experienced right here. Pray that you would help us to make the application in our own personal lives here tonight. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.